Let's go ahead and do our positive affirmations. But before we do that, I mentioned to Joe something that I thought we might want to incorporate. Last week when I taught, there was the possibility of a motto coming out of that. And those three words were to rejoice and the things that we're supposed to do while we're waiting for the glory of God to come back. And I was thinking that maybe we could come up with a way to, like, have a motto. Motto, like when we see each other, when we leave each other, and we just say those three words or that kind of thing. Anyway, Joe's going to talk about that at some point when he's ready, of course. But I just thought that that would be kind of cool. It would kind of mark our lives a little bit more significantly, because it will tell people and tell us what we should be focusing on instead of what our minds might want us to focus on. But let's do the positive affirmations, and then we'll get into some Bible. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. I'm going to divert from part six. I was going to teach part six on the subject of lies. I'm going to have my lemon water brought to me by Steffi and Kyle. Kyle ran that over earlier today. And when Joy gets here, she can do it, but I'll have Kyle and Steffi do it in the meantime. Okay, I'm diverting because there's something else on my heart that I really want to talk about, and I thought it would bless you guys to hear this. To start with, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians. No, I don't want you to do that. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And I want to read this verse to you, because what I want to do is to help you separate yourself out from among the world. And that can be done in many ways. The one way that I was thinking today that you could separate yourself out from among the world with how you think about yourself. In other words, change the way you think about yourself. Ephesians 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? I'll read the rest of the verse just because it's so fun, but I'm focusing on hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. We have been called to the body of Christ. It is a calling to be born again. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, just flip over to that. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Don't you love how hope and calling just go hand in hand. There's only one. There's only one calling. Even as ye are called, you've been called. You've been called out from the world. And it was a bidding. It was where your name was called. God called your name. Hello, Elizabeth. Hello, Gary. Hello, Joy. Hello, Julie. He called you. Now, he really did. He really did call your name. And he called it in one hope of, now it's called your calling. So within this calling, when your name was called, a huge emphasis was placed on hope. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. This is when it gets exciting. In Ephesians chapter 3, we are told in verse 14 to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This isn't just a calling where your name was called, but it's a high calling. A high calling. And this means it came from the top. It came from the top. This calling where your name was called came from the top. We're given a little more information about it. This calling where your name was called that came from the top was in Christ Jesus. It has all to do with Christ Jesus and you accepting Christ Jesus. And that is fantastic. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we learn a little bit more about this calling. The New Testament is rife with verses about our calling. It's our calling. It was called your calling. So individually, you own it. It is yours. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of calling, of your calling. We know what it's talking about. And fulfill all the good pleasure in his goodness and the work of faith with power. So there's fulfillments that come out of that calling. First of all, the good pleasure of God's goodness is evident in it, every aspect of it. And there's work, the work of faith with power. Power being dunamis and faith being pistis. Now I'm going to show you something about faith that makes this even more remarkable. We have been called with a holy calling according to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think this is just absolutely so fantastic. We've got a high calling. Now we've got a holy calling. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That is a very long time ago. So when our name was called, Julie, Joe, when our name was called, that calling, that sounding out of our precious name was a holy act, and it came from the top. Hebrews chapter 3 gives us another clue to the enormity of grace in this calling. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Well, I guess we kind of figured it was heavenly, didn't we? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, our profession. That means acknowledgement. It's like a confession. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And then it says Christ Jesus. And that's just fantastic. And so, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're told something about the work that we're supposed to do regarding our calling. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Diligence is spude, and that means with brevity of time. It means get on it. It means speed. It's talking about speed. It's talking about being diligent to make your calling and election sure. We're to make our calling and election sure. And this election means you're the choosing of you. It's a choosing. It's a selection. You were selected for this because you believed. Give speed, haste to make your calling and selection sure. We're supposed to be very serious about who we are and that we were called. And so this word make is talking about to make or do. It's like yielding yourself to it. It's like spending your time doing it. But you do it with brevity of time. You speed yourself to make your calling and selection sure. And that means learning the word. That means walking the word. There's lots of parts to that. But it's quite significant. And so we've learned about calling. And there's more to that. But you've probably picked up on it that with regard to this calling, it's not by works. There's just nothing about your Christian walk that's by works. You have to make your calling and election sure, but you've already been called, so you're not like making the calling happen. The calling already happened before the foundation, before the overthrow of the earth. You were chosen, you were selected, and this is heavenly, it's high, it's holy, it came from the top. And it's the most significant thing that's ever going to happen to you. You are so special. But none of it is by works. There's nothing you could do to work on this. Because you've already been called. You are God's kid. You have been chosen from before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before Him in love. The without blame is also without works. There are no works that you could ever do to make God smile. He is not work-oriented. Now, He does want you to do things, but this thing about works is so significant that there's an inherent supernatural ingredient that literally makes it possible. Without this one ingredient from heaven, it would not be possible and you would have to work. But God incorporated one thing into your life, into the spiritual aspect of your life, so that you would never have to do works. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you still do works? Oh, I bet every one of us could come up with a work we do. Yep. But we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. Wow. There's no works. There's no works that we're supposed to do, because all of the selection, the election, the calling, the high part of it, the holy part of it, and the heavenly part of it was done completely before your time and completely outside of you. Now, granted, we're supposed to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, but that doesn't get us called. That's after we were called. And that is fantastic. And I want to start on this one thing that if it wasn't there, you'd be working your little rear end off. I guarantee you, like they all used to do. But they didn't get this privilege. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're to know the hope of his calling, because everything about the calling is wrapped up, summed in hope. We are literally waiting for the glory of God to be revealed. We're looking for that. That's right. That is what we're all about. We're not all about trying to become better Christians. You can't get any better than what God made you. Now, maybe you could have nicer thoughts or calmer emotions or less body odor or whatever. Yeah, maybe you could tweak this and that, but you're not going to touch the calling. You're not going to touch the new birth. You're not going to touch the incorruptible seed. But at the same time, there's things that we ought to be doing, like pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, that's a good one. But that's not works. That's not going to make you more accepted to God. And what I'm trying to get you to think about are things that you do that would be considered works. You know, if you just sat in a corner in a quiet room all by yourself, you'd be accepted by God. If you went down into the pit of hell, you'd be accepted by God. It doesn't matter where you go. And we prove that every time we speak in tongues. And I used to put that one to the test. When I used to travel, like I was over in Asia a lot. And there's really not much godly over there. Yet things are changing now. There's more and more Japanese people turning to Christ. That's beautiful. I used to walk those streets. And China, I don't know about them turning to Christ, but I do know they have fellowships there and cells where they meet underground. And I know that you can't stop the Word of God from growing. And so, yeah, when I was over there and I would be around all of that ungodliness, which was interesting, it was an interesting place to go, especially China. I used to you know, wonder how these people ever got along, because there was just no Jesus Christ anywhere. Except when I went to a little department store and I was going up an escalator. It was a real skinny escalator. And we're going up, up, up. And it was Christmas time. It was right before their Chinese New Year. And they had Christmas songs playing. And I couldn't believe it. And I thought, oh my gosh, these people don't know how blessed they're getting right now. Because, you know, when Silent Night came on and you're talking about Jesus Christ, and there's other songs that talked about Jesus Christ, and those words were falling on them, blessing their lives. That could be the closest they ever get to getting born again. I don't know. But it was quite interesting. But we don't do any works. No matter where you are, you could go into the darkest reaches of Africa and be God's kid. You never lose that. You've been chosen. You were selected. And there's nothing that can undo that. Well, in light of that, what we want to do is we want to live the more than abundant life. And you know that verse in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So that's what we want to do. But that's not works, though. We just want to live the more than abundant life. And that has a lot to do with Ephesians and understanding the infrastructures and the mechanisms of the darkness of this world, the principalities and powers of this world, not of God, but the dark ones. And that's why it's so important that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. So we do want to know things. We do want to be savvy. You don't just sit in the corner of a room and hope for the best. That's not going to work. And you already know that. If you ever tried to sit in a corner of a room, you'd probably last about 10 seconds and you'd already be up on your feet. No works. But we do want to do works. But not to be accepted by God. We want to do works as we work ourselves into the more than abundant life. That's what we want. Well, that's exciting. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now we're going to look at this word increase. It's the Greek word auxano. A-U-X-A-N-O. It's a wonderful word. And I'll give you the definition of it. It means growth from the inside without compulsion. It's growth from the inside. It's not growth from the outside. You're not lifting weights and making your bicep bigger. It's something that happens in you, not out of you. Now, people will see the results of it out of you, but that's not because it's all happening out of you. It's all happening in you, this growth. The growth's a good word, or increase, that's a good word. But it's something that's transpiring without compulsion. Basically without you doing anything, for the most part. There are specific aspects of auxano that do have triggers. So if you do this, then this happens. Yeah, there's parts of it that work like that, but not all of it. So I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who is in charge of auxano? But God gave the increase. But God gave the oxano. I want to read that in Greek. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, and that would be Theos oxano. Those are the two primary Greek words in that phrase in verse 6. Theos oxano. So who does the oxano part? Theos. And let's read verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God, or can I just say the Greek? Theo, oxano. Again, it's the same two words. Theo, oxano ends verse 6, and Theo, oxano ends verse 7. It's established. So who does the management of oxano? Theos. Is there anything, according to these two verses, that you could do, that you could do to manage oxano? No. Nothing. It says, so then neither is he that planteth anything. Oh, you could plant seeds all day long, figuratively or literally. But that has nothing to do with the oxano. Nothing. You could water all day long, but that has nothing to do with the oxano, with the growth. If you want to grow, go sit in a room in a corner. That's all you have to do, for the most part. Why? Theo oxano, because God gives the increase. God gives the increase. Your work doesn't matter at all regarding receiving growth, regarding receiving increase. Your works just don't matter. Now, are there places in the Bible where your works do matter? Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I am nothing. So charity, which is agape, and it's the way you are supposed to act as you live the more than abundant life, means everything. But even if you burnt yourself out, figuratively, that's what that's talking about, to where there's, you just have no more energy, you can't even lift a toenail, you're so tired because you've given so much to the poor and done so many works to help so many people. If you don't live your life according to agape, you're nothing. Just like here, there is nothing you could do to cause growth. So then neither is he that planteth anything. What do you say to that? Well, you say, let me live the more than abundant life and perhaps let oxano have its perfect work. And that's a good way. So you really want to be of a mind that if any growth is going to happen, you need to sit back and relax and let it happen. Now, you have two streams of thought here, because you're supposed to be living the more than abundant life. You're not supposed to be stuck in the past, stuck in your old ways, stuck in non-agape behavior ways. You're supposed to change. But that doesn't give you a calling. That's not higher, heavenly, or holy. that is just a way of life. And it doesn't have anything to do with Theos Oxano. Theos Oxano has all to do with Theos. It has nothing to do with you. You can't make Oxano happen if your life depended on it. There are exceptions to triggers that could bring about very specific aspects of the Christian walk that touch on growth. But as for the actual apparentis modi of growth itself, you don't get to enact that. That is 100% Theos. Well, look at John chapter 3. I want you to be familiar with Oxano so that if you're struggling to come out of things, to be better at something, to somehow mold your life into a more, as maybe you say, Christian way, I want you to understand God's role and let Him do His perfect work. I don't want you to be burdened or labored or traumatized by thoughts that you have to actually recreate yourself and become this new person. And I don't want you just to be yourself either. That's not what we're talking about. That could be a dangerous road down. If you just be yourself, what if that's a bad self? You want to be a good self. I want you to be a more than abundant life self, a MAL self, M-A-L, more than abundant life, M-A-L. I want you to be a MAL life. That's what I want you to be, a MAL soul, a MAL self. I want you to be a more than abundant life person. I don't want you to be stuck in your old ways. I don't want you to just be yourself. Good Lord, who knows what that would open up. I want you to be a more than abundant life believer, called with a high and a heavenly and a holy calling. And I want Theos Oxano to thrive inside your heart's garden. John chapter 3 verse 30. He must increase, but I decrease. Well, Jesus Christ grew from the inside out without compulsion. God did this with Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ. He must increase. Increases Oxano. Acts chapter 6. There are many things that Oxano plays with, that Oxano controls, that Oxano is integrated with. Many. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased. Oh, there you have it. The word of God, Oxano. The word of God increased. Logos Theos Oxano. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see the results of what happened? But the priests didn't do the Oxano, and the disciples didn't do the Oxano. The word of God increased. We've already learned that Theos does the Oxano. That never changes. That is a tool of God. So we see that the tool of God is implemented with the Word of God, and the Word of God Oxanoed. So it is possible that the Word of God increases. It grows naturally without compulsion as people speak the Word, as people teach the word, as the gift ministries are in operation. Well, how about Acts chapter 12? the Word of God grows. The Word of God grows, oxano. Acts chapter 12, verse 24. But the Word of God grew and multiplied. So, grew is oxano. The Word of God oxanoed and multiplied. Oh my gosh, that's even more than just growing. That's really hitting it with exponents. The Word of God has the ability, the God-given ability, to increase. It grows. It's not just a stagnant thing. There's life to it. It's just like water. Water has life in it. You know that, don't you? It's not just this clear stuff. It's got life in it. It has life in it. Waters of life. And so the Word of God has life in it too. And God sees to it that it grows and grows and grows. It's called the living word. And the living word must prevail. Acts chapter 19. Here we see another one about the Word of God. Acts 19, verse 20. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Not only does the Word of God grow, not only can it multiply, that's like having babies, but it prevails. It's like an umbrella. It just covers everything. And as we do our part, we will see that Word of God grow and multiply and prevail. The grow part, that's up to God. And the prevailing and the multiplying, that's also up to God because they're extensions of oxano. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to drive home the truth that the management of oxano is 100% God. You can go and sit in a room in the corner and it would still happen. But you'd have a whole lot more fun if you were a more than abundant life self. And you strove to live the more than abundant life. You strove to walk according to agape. Yeah, it'd just be more fun than sitting on a stool. But oxano is going to happen. Isn't that beautiful? Take the pressure off. Stop the works, folks. Here I am. I'm yelling at you. Stop the works. Just get off them, okay? Free yourself. Free yourself. Mal yourself. Mobile abundant life yourself. Mobile abundant life. I think about that backpack we used to have. It was called the Mal Pack. We had everything in there to be able to live in case of persecution, I guess. Never happened. But we had it. And we called it a mobile abundant living. So we could just put it on and go. But I'm talking about the more than abundant life. The more than abundant life. Be a Mal self. Be a Mal-self. Be a more than abundant life person. That's how you want to be. But stop the works. There's no works in the Mal-self. You're still a Christian as a Mal-self. Yeah. There's no works in that one either. No works. No works. Free yourself. Stop doing the works. I think works that Christians do are more like superstitions. I have to do this for this to happen. Oh, stop it. No, you don't. Just let God do His thing. Let God do His thing. There's no works that you have to do. None. You don't got to crawl upstairs and get your knees all bloodied and get to Mecca. You don't have to carry a cross. Oh my heavens. Where'd they come up with that one? They've so totally misrepresented God's word. No works, buddies. No works. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I love reading this. We'll read it I think I already read this too. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the idea. Theos oxano. Theos oxano. And in verse 7 at the end, Theos oxano again. I had that show up twice in my little document, my little teaching notes. Well, this one's for Jose. Jose, do you remember like years ago you asked me about fruits of righteousness and you wanted me to teach on that? And we talked about fruit of the Spirit, but there's fruit of righteousness too. I know you have to remember that. I always bring this up when I find something new because I didn't know how I'd be able to teach that to you because I didn't understand it then either. But every once in a while, something opens up. And here's one, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is a really cool one because this kind of answers everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, or just for food, and multiply your seed sown. So we see minister as seed, and we see minister bread for food, and we see multiply seed sown. So we see some dynamics here transpiring regarding ministering. Well, there's supernatural acts that happen when ministering takes place. You know, if you minister seed, that's obviously a spiritual act. Then you've got the last part of the verse. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. Okay, we're talking about righteousness. The ability to stand before God without any sense of fear, sin, guilt, condemnation. You are right before Him. He made you right. Now, if that makes you cringe a little bit and makes you be afraid that you couldn't stand before Him, you got some upgrades needed. You need to level up a little bit here, okay? As in video games, get a little bit more power in your life and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And oxano, the fruits of your righteousness. Fruit is like an end result. If you could ever see the mango trees down here in Belize where the mangoes, they're just huge. And they hang off of branches. Like they have this really thick stem. And this big red fruit hangs down. And the whole tree is covered. It's like a Christmas tree with like red lights everywhere. Like thousands of them. It's the most amazing thing. But you got to wait until the end of the season for it. And then the fruits show up. Yeah. It's beautiful. Fruits are beautiful. And the fruits that come from you being right and able to stand before God without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation is a growth. And it happens because of Theos. And so your fruits increase naturally, automatically, spiritually, when God does His planting and watering, and then there's growth in the or out of the soil of your soul. You do not control that. You're righteous, and so God makes your fruit show up. This is fantastic. I love that. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 10? So fruits of righteousness is one thing, but every time you pray that your faith will increase, there is a prayer for that that Jesus used in the garden. But there might be some boundaries to that too with respect to our calling. Okay? Our calling, our heavenly, high, holy calling that came from the top. There are some interactions of faith with oxano that we should be aware of. And if there are, that means that there are things that God does outside of your works, outside of your control. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure. That is, of other men's labors. So we're talking about works. But having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, which is fruit. It's end result stuff. End result stuff. When your faith is increased, think about it. When your pistis is oxanoed. Oh, wait a minute. Pistis is oxanoed? Pistis? So pistis can grow from the inside out without compulsion? Uh-huh. That's right. You can't make your pistis grow. You can't be a pistis warrior. You can't make your pistis grow. But God can. Theo oxano. He's in charge of the oxano department. And he makes your pistis grow. Your pistis grow. A great example of that is the manifestation of faith. When and where your natural believing ends, can no longer handle the current situation, then the manifestation of faith takes over. And that would be increase. That's where God comes in and rules. I thought you'd like to know that. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. We're talking about the household, the building, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So your body is a temple, but all of our bodies collectively are a holy temple in the Lord. And the growth of that building, and it is a building, happens theo oxano. God sees that it grows. It grows from the inside out without compulsion. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can start it. It is all by the hand of God. Ephesians chapter 4. It's nice to see these extraneous things affected like this by oxano. But what about you? What about your personal growth? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, don't you love that? I'm going to teach that verse when I do part, I guess it's part 6 of the teaching on the series on lies. Speaking the truth in agape, may grow up, oxano, into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. The idea of your life, your personal mal self growing up, oxanoing, is that you can grow up in all things and reach the head, Christ. You're supposed to be part of the body of Christ, and of course you are, but if any of this is supposed to happen, it's all supernatural. It's all spiritual, and it's caused by God. It's allowed by God. It's started by God. It's fueled by God. It's cared for by God. But speaking the truth in love, that's what we do. As we walk with agape, we speak the truth. We don't lie. And there are places in the Bible, and I'll share these in part 6, where Paul instructed the believers to specifically not lie about parts of the Bible, two of which are who God is and who Jesus Christ is. It's great. Fantastic. Personal growth happens naturally as we speak the truth while walking according to agape. Colossians chapter 1. I'm showing you the different entities or functions that are affected by oxano. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This is part of the mouse self, the more than abundant life self, that you might walk worthy. But this isn't works. Don't say, well, now see, Jerry, it says to walk. Now, walking is a work. I get tired. No, but it didn't get you called. It didn't get you born again. It didn't get you forgiven. It didn't get you seated at the right hand of the throne of God. No, not at all. You got to stop the works thing. Stop looking for excuses to work too. Oh, gosh. We got to do something about that. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy. And I love this word, worthy. Let me see if it's axios. I didn't write that one down. I want to see that. Let's see if worthy. Oh my goodness! You should be rejoicing right now. It's the Greek word axios. Wow! Do you know what axios means? It means a balanced walk. It's like a teeter-totter. Here's the pole on the ground in the middle, and the teeter-totter teeters and totters on it. And that is axios. We want that balance. We don't want it teetering, and we don't want it tottering. We want it balanced. And the balance is between, in Ephesians, this is also used in Ephesians 4:1, that you might walk worthy. Oh, it probably says the same thing. Let me find it. Sorry, I get distracted. Ephesians, oh gosh, I clicked it too many times. I therefore, Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. That's axios. That word worthy is the word axios. And there's a balance. Now, Ephesians 4:1 begins the practical part of Ephesians. Ephesians 1:1 begins the doctrinal part. And so the very first instruction in terms of practicing Ephesians is to balance the doctrine with the practice. Balance chapters 1, 2, and 3 with chapters 4, 5, and 6. Learn the doctrine, but walk. Walk the doctrine too. That's right. And so that is axios. And that is just so cool. Learning these little tiny nuggets. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy. Well, we know what that means from Ephesians now. You've got to learn the doctrine and you've got to walk the doctrine. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, because this is what the Lord wants, unto all pleasing. It pleases the Lord when you do this. When you aren't teetering, when you're not tottering, but you're balanced. That's how you please Him here. There's other ways to please the Lord. Being fruitful in every good work. Do you know that you are called to good works? That's part of your calling. Did you know that? Called to good works? That's in Ephesians. I'll find that verse for you. Oh, I hope I can. Uh-oh. Where is that in Ephesians? I'll find it. Called is used so many times in the Old Testament, it's crazy. Okay, Galatians. not Ephesians 2:11, not Ephesians 4:1. I know the best way. I can't find it with the word calling. So good works. And let's go find that in Ephesians. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'll have to find that for you guys. I don't remember where it is. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But there is a verse, I'm not looking in the right book, that says that we're called to good works. And so that's part of your calling. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And so when you see this in Colossians 1:10, being fruitful in every good work, well, that really speaks to the fact that one day you're going to be in a line, according to Revelations, receiving rewards from Jesus Christ for every good work you ever did. And that to me is just, oh, what a life, huh? What a life. Okay, go to Colossians chapter 2. Oxano also has to do with growth of the spiritual body. Verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. So this oxano happens with the oxano of God. So that is a nature of God, to grow from the inside out without compulsion. They call it the living word. Well, he's the living God. He grows all the time. Can you imagine what that must be like? I'm kind of glad I don't grow all the time. Well, not spiritually speaking, but you know. You know what I mean. A little too many donuts. We don't eat donuts here. No. Don't go down that road. Donuts here are terrible. They look good, but they taste like pieces of bread. They look all decorated and have icing and all that on them. Wow, they've done a pretty good job with these American-style looking donuts. And then you bite into it, and it's just like chewing a piece of bread. Oh, well. So, anyway. If you eat too many of those, you're going to oxano. Okay. How about 1 Peter chapter 2. And I've got this verse and one more verse. And this is your last chance to stop works. I want you guys to all stop your works now. You only got two more verses. And at the end of these two verses, you have to make the decision. I'm not going to do works anymore to be accepted by God, okay? Okay. I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Uh-huh. Okay, I like that. I'm going to live the more than abundant life. Okay. Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, I'm going to walk worthy. Okay, but none of those are works. Not one. Because you already have been called. I'm repeating myself, aren't I? You already have been selected. Wow, what a great life you have in store. But you've only got two more verses to do it. This is your last chance. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may oxano thereby. So as you listen to the word, even the foundational scriptures, you know how much I've been hammering on that. Guys, we got to bring it back to the foundation. Go en español. El base de la palabra de Dios. It's the foundation, the very bottom part of it. The foundation of the scriptures. Why? So that the oxano is flourishing. That's kind of a prerequisite. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may oxano, buy it. Thereby, buy it. That's beautiful. That's how you grow. If you really want to grow, that's what you do. Get that word in you. But keep it basic. The sincere milk. Not meat. That's just milk stuff. Okay? And the last one. Here's your last chance. You guys, wipe your foreheads. Pull out your handkerchiefs. Get the sweat off your brow. I know this is your last chance to give up on this, the works. Last chance in 2 Peter. Last chance, 2 Peter chapter 3. I don't know what we're going to do if it doesn't work after this. I don't know. Last chance in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. But grow, but oxano in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Oh, we're gonna see that glory when He comes back, trust me. We gotta wait until then. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ now. Oxano, you're going to, without compulsion, from the inside out, not by works, grow in grace, in God's favor. He's going to love you more and more every day. He's going to favor you more and more with things He does for His favorites. Day after day, minute by minute. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. This is a 24/7 thing. You abound in His grace because of His management of oxano. And grace is not without exception. Grace grows in you. Faith grows in you. Just go sit in the corner. It still does. I don't want you sitting in a corner though. I'm repeating myself. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's do this together, folks. Let's oxano together. Oh, that means we can all go sit in a corner because God's the one that controls that part. Expect oxano. Expect the word to grow, multiply, to prevail. Expect pistis. Expect grace to grow. Expect all of these things to happen as you keep your head in the Word and as you stick to the basics, the sincere milk of the Word, and as you take this to others. God bless.